Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today is All Vanity by Stanley Silverman. It's based on the book of Ecclesiastes. You expect to hear a story today, don't you? Well, you will in a way. A story that happened 15 years ago. Actually, though, what you'll hear is not so much a story. It's a kind of musical fugue. A fugue, you know, is a type of counterpoint in which two or more voices announce a theme or subject one after the other and then give way to counter themes. Listen now to the theme as announced by our first voice, Kohelet, the son of David, King in Jerusalem.
Vanity of vanities, saith Kohelet. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath man of all his labor wherein he laboreth under the sun? His days are pains, and his work vexation. All is vanity, and a striving after wind.
And now the theme as announced by the second voice, a man whose name might be Morris Hirsch, former resident of Berlin.
I took my books with me to Vienna. From Vienna, I went to Prague. From Prague, somehow, to Rome. Always I took books with me. The Bible, books on scientific agriculture. Why those books? I don't know. What good are science and learning in the days of war?
So much for our theme. Now, the counter theme.
Wisdom is good with an inheritance, yea, a profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, even as money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom preserveth the life of him that hath it.
All my life I've been interested in agriculture, studied it. Maybe now that southern Italy is liberated, I could start a school, a farm school for other Jews. I'm not dead yet. I can still have a life.
This theme and counter-theme will be developed further. But you were promised a story, too. Well, suppose we tell you what happened to Morris Hirsch and his idea for a school of scientific agriculture in liberated Italy.
So, Mr. Hirsch, so you have an idea.
Huh? It's more than an idea, Mr. Gittler. Soon we'll have land and buildings and teaching.
Easy, easy. Don't rush so. I've done enough rushing lately. You say you'll have the land for your school soon?
Almost any day, I hope. The Italian government is deciding about it now, through the Joint Distribution Committee, you know?
Good. And the buildings?
Some we have promised to us. Others will have to be erected. But, Mr. Gittler, it's experienced men we need most, men like you.
Me? Oh, I never worked on a farm in my life, not even in my own country. How could I?
I mean as our business manager. You've got the training, the ability, the general interest.
enough, Hirsch. You'll make me out a second Solomon.
No, I'm not trying to flatter you. All I want to know is, will you join me?
Well, Hirsch, I don't know. I was thinking that maybe someday I'd go back and start my factory again. Hirsch, let me sleep on it.
I made me great works. I had great possessions. I gathered me also silver and gold, so I was great. Then I looked on all my works that my hands had wrought. Behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun.
Yes, yes, Signor, I understand completely.
Then why won't you help us? You agree that the school could do a great deal of good for the young Jews now in Italy?
Yes, yes.
Then what's the trouble?
The war. The war is not yet over, Signor. And suppose the Allies should be forced to retreat.
Retreat? You think the Nazis still have a chance to win? No, Mr. Minister, they have not.
How can you be so sure, Signor?
Because the Nazis are Nazis. They're wicked men. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know the book, sir?
Yes.
Well, there's a part in it that goes, there is no man that hath power over the wind to retain the wind, neither hath the power over the day of death, neither shall wickedness deliver him that is given to it. Don't worry, Mr. Minister. The Nazis are finished.
Pray God, you are right. But even so, Signor, things are still so unsettled.
Look, Mr. Minister, some things can't be delayed. Your own government isn't waiting until northern Italy is liberated, is it, before trying to fix things up here in the south?
No, you have a point.
So why should we wait to start the school? Now's the time to do it.
I do not know, Signor Arsh. I do not know.
To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace.
Well, to make a long story short, Morris Hirsch begged and pleaded and pleaded and begged and hoped. And in time, he had his hopes rewarded.
You're a good man, Hirsch.
Thank you.
You got land, you got buildings, books, teachers.
And a first-class business manager, Mr. Gittler.
Thank you. But, well, there is one thing we got I don't feel so good about. Some other time.
And now, Mr. Gittler, tell me what's on your mind.
Well, all right. It's about the students.
Students? And what's the matter with them? Aren't they a fine group of young men, intelligent, eager?
God bless them, they're wonderful boys. Anyway, most of them.
Most? Not all? Name me just one boy of the 19 who isn't
now
eager.
No, we have 20.
No, 19.
20. I enrolled a new boy myself this morning.
Good, we have plenty of room. Gittler, I'm glad you did it.
I am not.
But what do you mean? What's wrong with the boy?
I don't know. He... Oh, why should I tell you? You'll meet him. You'll see for yourself. Jacob! Jacob, come in here with us.
Yes, sir.
Fine. Now, Jacob, I want you to meet Mr. Hirsch. He's the director, you know.
I know.
Well, Jacob, why don't you tell the director about yourself?
Tell? What is there to tell?
Mr. Gittler means Jacob. Where do you come from?
Oh, Belsen. Before that, I was in Dachau with my brother. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe they sent him to Poland.
Man knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, even so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them.
They sent a lot of boys to Poland that day. Maybe my brother, too.
May God watch over him, Jacob.
Hmm? Oh, sure. I hope so.
Well, Jacob, what do you think of the school?
It's all right.
And you like farming?
I guess so.
Tell me, Jacob, is there something else you'd like better?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's anything I'd really like to do, except...
Except what, Jacob?
Die.
I considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead that are already dead, more than the living that are yet alive. But better than they both is he that hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun.
Well, Mr. Director, now you see what I mean?
Yes, I see, Gittler. But don't worry. We'll bring that boy back to life yet.
Please, God. But how?
We'll see. He's an intelligent boy. He'll listen to reason. Good morning, Mr. Margolis.
Good morning, Mr. Hirsch. You wanted to see me?
Yes, yes, about the boy, Jacob. There has been progress?
No, Mr. Hirsch, not a bit. Oh, I've tried to get your idea across to him.
About knowledge and study?
Yes, yes, I told him time and again he'll never get anywhere unless he studies, applies himself, you know.
And what does he say?
He says that his father studied and studied all his life. And they shot him to death on Yom Kippur while he was reading the Torah.
I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. And I perceived that this also was a striving after wind. The wise man dieth, even as the fool dieth.
I tell you, Gittler, I don't know what to do about Jacob. I thought giving him charge of the library would help a little.
He didn't show any interest?
You'd think he didn't know how to read. So I tried something else, the old remedy.
Hard work.
Cutting stone.
But, Hirsch, the boy isn't strong enough.
Yes, that's what I thought, but I was wrong. He did the work almost without effort. But...
Same thing, eh?
The same thing, no interest. Not a word out of him, one way or another. But his face, his whole body, they seem to be saying, what's the good? What's the use?
I returned and saw under the sun that the race was not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all.
And now, Mr. Business Manager, now what's the trouble?
What do you think?
Jacob, you didn't have any luck either, eh?
Not a bit. I said to myself, Hirsch is being too hard on the boy, treating him too seriously. I, Hermann Gittler, I know boys better. I'll joke with him. I'll have a little fun with him.
And?
Nothing. You know that Shalom Aleichem story I told you? How funny you thought it was? Well, Jacob looked at me like I was crazy.
I applied my heart to know wisdom.
madness and folly. I perceived that this also was a striving after wind. I said in my heart, come now, I will try thee with mirth and enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doth it accomplish?
But Jacob, after all, was only one boy out of dozens and dozens. For the school grew, we can assure you of that. It grew and flourished like a thirsty plant given sunlight and water. Mr. Hirsch could spend only so much time on one boy's problems. And so, after a while, they left Jacob alone. Alone, that is, with the other young man. And something rather strange happened.
Gee-up! Gee-up! Come on, Jacob!
I can't pull anymore.
Oh, no? Then how's this field going to get plowed? Just answer me that.
But, David, my wound. It's hurting pretty bad.
Ah, your wound. You're just a slacker.
What? Well, who are you to call me a slacker? You are!
Hey, what's going on here? Hey, no, come on now, what kind of a way is this to behave? Well, Jacob won't do his share of the plowing.
I want to, but my wound...
Why, he's a faker.
Who's a faker? You
all are! All right, now, that's enough of that, that's enough. Jacob, haven't you already seen enough fighting? Nobody can call me a slacker.
I will,
just as long as you
all
keep
right,
on...
Now, shut up, both of you.
All right, now, come on, shake hands. Go on, shake hands. Well... Oh, all right. Here, Jacob. No hard feelings.
All right.
Good. Now, let's get on with the work. David, you get back behind that plow, and Jacob, you in front.
You mean I have to pull? Oh, now, wait.
With me, Jacob. With me.
But you just finished your work in the next field.
So? Aren't we all working together?
But you never helped me before.
Well, you never gave me a chance before. Brother?
Brother? You said brother. Oh, thank God. Thank God.
Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, and hath not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have warmth. But how can one have warmth alone? And if a man prevail against him that is alone, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Well, that was the beginning of the end of the problem of Jacob. Things started happening to him after that, to him and to the spirit of the school.
Come on, help me lift this up.
Here,
come on.
Okay, I got it. Ready?
Yeah. Hi, fellas. Good to see you all working again.
Well. Our prodigal has returned.
Great philosopher has been enjoying himself.
Yep, I had my fun, and now I'm back. You know, you fellas ought to try it sometime.
We haven't time for such foolishness.
No? Well, you're only young once. And I say...
All right, quiet. We've got work to do.
All right, but I think...
Oh, who cares?
Oh, no, just a minute. Maybe our prodigal has an idea. What? Look, I don't know about you fellas, but... Well, I'm getting awful stale.
Well, we do work pretty hard.
Sure.
Uh-huh. I'll say you do.
Yeah. Say, now how would it be if we had a party?
Hey, why not? That's a good idea.
Look, I'll go to the director and see what he has to say. So, Mr. Hirsch, I thought that before the Sabbath, we could clean out the barn. Then on Saturday night, we, I know it sounds silly, but...
Silly? I was wondering when you young men would realize that you have to relax sometime. Of course you can have a party.
The light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. For if a man live many years, let him rejoice in them all. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes.
And that is all, or at any rate almost all, there is to our story of Morris Hirsch and Jacob and the other young men of the School of Agriculture in southern Italy. The young men, as you know, worked hard, relaxing every great once in a while, and training all the time to become scientific farmers. Most of them hope to do their farming in Palestine. By their labor, they help to create the new Israel, and they're sharing in the new dreams whose end is part of the unborn future. There is an ending, though, to that fugue we were talking about a few minutes earlier. Because a fugue is a musical composition, and you can be much more definite and positive with music than you can be with people. Now, in a fugue, after you've stated the theme or subject and counter-themes or counter-subjects, the music works its way into a stretto, where the subject is closely followed by an answer. Listen, I'll show you what I mean. First, the subject, as voiced by Kohelet.
Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath man of all his labor wherein he laboreth under the sun?
Next, the subject is voiced by Morris Hirsch.
Always I took books with me. Why? I don't know. What good are science and learning in the days of war?
Now, observe how in the stretto these subjects receive their answer.
They're wonderful boys, Hirsch. Wonderful. Nothing discourages them. Nothing scares them.
What could terrify a boy who lived through Belsen?
The dead? No, not anything. Neither have they any more a portion in anything that is done under the sun. But to him that is joined to the living, there is hope.
Sure, Hirsch, that I know. But there is more to them than that. They have such confidence in the future.
But of course they have. Hitler, our boys have faith in God.
The end of the matter, all having been heard, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole man. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Joseph Howard Katz of New York, Chairman of the Board of Trustees of the Park Avenue Synagogue, and a prominent civic and community leader. Mr. Katz.
Today's script tells the story of something that happened 15 years ago. It was one attempt to heal the scars of war and of persecution. But this story of young Jacob is really a symbol of the larger mass of humanity whose lives have been blighted by the horrors which accompany war. In the same way, the book of Ecclesiastes, which is the outpouring of one man's observations at the end of his life, contains ideas common to all men who think seriously about life and the human condition. The thing that struck me most about the story dramatized today was that Jacob was not rehabilitated by words, for no one could tell him that the pain he felt would gradually diminish. Rather, by engaging in a productive life, by actually living, he regained his will to live. The important question is, how can people be given a sense of the value and the affirmative spirit of life when they feel frustrated and helpless? This story gives an answer. By enabling people to live life, in the process of living it productively, they will gain a certainty of its worthwhileness and the will to live will result. Unfortunately, our world today is full of injustice and replete with danger. It still bears witness to the types of persecution and affliction from which Jacob had to be rehabilitated. And so we cannot give up the struggle or yield to despair. The message of today's drama is that there is hope as long as there is life. Life itself is the promise of better things. This is the wonder of humanity and the source of those achievements which are uniquely human. It is so well said in Ecclesiastes. The end of the matter, all having been heard, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole man.
Thank you, Mr. Katz.
Our Eternal Light drama today, Is All Vanity, was written by Stanley Silverman and is based on the book of Ecclesiastes. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Leon Janney, Boris Marshaloff, Roger DeCoven, Santos Ortega, Bill Mason, Lou Sorin, Larry Robinson, Alan Bergman, and Ronnie Liss.
This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program is directed today by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.